How's the volume? It's very clear. In alhamdulillahi nahmadu. Certainly our praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him. Wa nasta'inuhu. We seek His assistance. Wa nastaghfiruhu. And we ask His forgiveness. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا. We seek His refuge from the evils of ourselves. وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا. And from the bad outcomes of our actions. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّنَا. Whoever Allah guides, then none can set astray. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهِ. And whoever He sets astray, then none else can guide. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I testify that nothing has a right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone in that right without any partner. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I testify that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace and security, that he is the Abd, the worshipful slave, and the Rasul, the prophet messenger of Allah. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Amma ba'du. Then we begin with our second installment on this topic of the theft of the identity of the Muslim woman. Covering over in this installment what is termed to be the progressive movement, yani the movement where the Muslim woman takes center stage in a civilizational discourse about the progress and development and security of society. And she is used as a pawn, and she is used as a propaganda tool in the hands of the disbelievers, in the hands of human devils, to push certain objectives and certain ideologies in the Muslim world. And this is something that, as we mentioned before, the statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He said, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. That so long as you are patient, you have a mindful fearfulness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then their plots cannot harm you in any way whatsoever. It is upon the Muslim to do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His book, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum la yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. O you who believe, focus upon your own selves. Meaning, fix yourselves before worrying about anyone else. It's not our prerogative and our responsibility to save the world. And the type of problem that we're going to talk about in this lecture and that was spoken about in the previous lecture has international dimensions, has political dimensions, has any ramifications, any that are far outside of the ability of the average Muslim, the regular Muslim, to do anything about except to have patience and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to hold fast to their religion, as comes in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise his rank and grant him security. سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقَابِضُ فِيهِ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَقَابِضِ عَلَى جَمَرٍ. That there will come upon the people a time where a person holding fast to his religion will be like a person holding on to hot coals. And comes in another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And they were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ فَذَكَرَ الْفِتَنِ. One day they were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّهُ سَتَكُونُ فِتَنِ. There's going to occur great trials and tribulations. فَكَأَنَ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَسْمَعُوا. The companion, he said, it was like the people didn't hear what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated himself. And they said, وَمَاذَا نَصْنَعُ. And he said, what should we do when great trials occur, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِأَمْرِكُمْ الْأَوَّلِ. He said, I advise you to hold fast to the original state of affairs. I advise you to hold fast to the original state of affairs. The fitna pertaining the so-called liberation of the Muslim woman, and he is as is found in the Nuniyah of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, where he speaks about the mentality of some of the disbelievers who claim that by abandoning traditional religious-based morality, that they are freeing themselves and liberating themselves. He said, عليه رحمة الله, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower him with his mercy. He said, فَرُّوا مِنَ الرِّقِ الَّذِي خُلِقُوا لَهُ فَبُلُوا بِالرِّقِ النَّفْسِ وَالشَّيْطَانِ. That they fled from the servitude, the riq, and the servitude, the slavery that they were created for, meaning to be the humble, worshipful, loving slaves of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, their creator and provider and sustainer, the most merciful, Subhanahu fi Una, the one who has no need of them. فَرُّوا مِنَ الرِّقِ الَّذِي خُلِقُوا لَهُ فَبُلُوا بِرِقِ النَّفْسِ وَالشَّيْطَانِ. And when they fled from the servitude and slavery that they were created for, to be the loving, worshipful slaves of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, meaning that they were tested with the slavery becoming slaves to their nafs, to their egos and their selves, and the shaitan, and the slaves of the shaitan, the slaves of the devil. And this is the reality of the affair, that the person who claims that by abandoning some of the teachings of the religion, or the religion wholesale, entirely, will liberate a person in any way, then in reality, that person is going from being the slave of the most merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that will benefit him, where that person is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely according to the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to being a slave of his nafs and a slave of the shaitan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the dua, Allahumma wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. O Allah, do not entrust me to my own self for even the blinking of an eye. And so a person who was like that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَمَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَخْطَفَهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَحْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ صَحِيقٍ. That the one who makes shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who worships others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the one who goes from the worship of Allah to the worship of anything else included, and that is the worship and the slavery to the dunya, and he being a worshipper of the nafs and one's desires, and taking one's desires as their God, and so on and so forth. And he, the one who makes shirk with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, then it is as though that person has plummeted from the sky, has plummeted, and he face first, or has plummeted from the heaven, from the sky. And the sky here, the sky, as they said, as Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned in his book, I'lam al-Waqi'een, explaining this ayah, that the sama here, the lofty sky here, is the sky of iman, and faith, belief, and so on and so forth. This person has plunged from a lofty place, فَتَخْطَفَهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَهْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ صَحِيقٍ, and was then plucked apart, ripped apart by any of the birds, the scavenger birds. And Ibn Qayyim, he said here, and what is referred to in this parable, and of the person who falls from the sky of Iman, and he is plucked apart by the birds. The birds here represent the shayateen, and the devils of mankind and the jinnkind, that rip a person into pieces, and that tear a person apart spiritually. أَوْ تَحْوِي بِهَ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ صَحِيقٍ. And he is carried off by the wind to a far off place, any far away from any where they want to be, far away from anywhere meaningful, and so on and so forth. And the wind here, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, and he is the ahwa of a person. And he, the desires and the harmful impulses of a person that take him far off the track. And he will be, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and he, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. They forgot Allah, so Allah caused them to forget their own selves. Such people are the fasiqun. So this affair of the supposed liberating of the Muslim woman has a tremendous and terrifying and frightening history. And I hope that you can bear with me, and I hope that I don't speak for too long, but really the amount of information that I have to present is tremendous, and it is very detailed in nature. And this call of at-taqaddum and al-ruqi, meaning of supposed progress of Muslim society, and so on and so forth, with the woman at its taking center stage in this call over the course of the last 200 years, and it is something that is quite amazing in reality. It's something that is quite amazing in reality, and the scholars have addressed it. And there is no doubt that the fitna of the woman, that the trial of the woman, the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being tried by way of the woman, is something that was foretold by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is from the greatest of the trials of the dunya. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith collected by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and great to be authentic by Shaykh Al-Albani rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, "Inna dunya khadiratun hulwa, wa inna Allah mustakhlifukum fiha liyanzura kayfa ta'malun." Indeed, the world is something that is green and sweet, meaning that is attracted to the eye and it is sweet to the taste. It gives a person pleasure to look at and pleasure to experience. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mustakhlifukum fiha, and he has caused you to live in this world generation after generation, liyanzura kayfa ta'malun, in order to watch you pertaining what you do. Fattaqu dunya wattaqu nisa. So fear and be on guard against the dunya and be on guard against an-nisa, against the woman. فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ فِتْنَةٍ فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَانَتْ فِتْنِسَ. Because the first fitna of Banu Israel was regarding the woman. The first fitna of the tribe of Israel was regarding the woman. So this is a reality. As was stated by Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he said, أَنْتُمْ أَشْبَهُ الْأُمَمْ بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَا أَدْرِي هَلْ تَعْبُدُونَ أَيْسَ تَعْبُدُونَ الْعِجْلَ أَمْ لَا. He said that you, O Muslims, are the nation that resembles Banu Israel the most out of all nations. You resemble Banu Israel more than any other people. Except for, I don't know whether or not you will eventually worship the golden calf or not. This is a statement of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. And this is a reality of the affair of this ummah, that the trial of the woman will be, and he's throughout the course of history, one of the greatest trials. I want to read some lines of poetry from the great scholar Hafiz Ibn Ahmad Ibn Ali Al-Hakami rahmatullahi alayhi, in his tremendous poem Al-Jawhara Al-Farida Fil Aqidah, and his tremendous poem Al-Jawhara Al-Farida, where in the beginning of his poem, he devotes the first portion of his poem to refuting Ahlul Bid'ah, and the different tawa'if and sects and groups and cults of Ahlul Bid'ah. And the last group that he refutes, rahmatullahi alayhi, having died in roughly the mid-50s, in the year 1378, and he is the group that is called Al-Asraniyun, yani the modernist. Those people who believe that there is a new and modern day interpretation of Islam that allows us to discard with many of the things of the past, and they look at many of the customs and practices of the Muslims that have a source and have an origin rather in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being backwards and things that can be disposed of or things that can be altered and changed and so on and so forth. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَلَا نُصِيخُ لِعَصْرِيٍّ يَفُوحُ بِمَا يُنَاقِضُ الشَّرْعَ أَوْ إِيَّاهُ يَعْتَقِدُ, that we give no attention and pay no mind to a modernist person who utters that which contradicts the religion or believes in that which opposes the religion. يَرَى الطَّبِيعَةَ فِي الْأَشْيَا مُؤَثِّرَةً أَيْنَ الطَّبِيعَةُ يَمَخْذُولُ إِذْ وُجِدُ. Such people, they believe that nature, some entity called nature, is what has an effect and the causality of things, yani is what causes things to happen, is nature. Yani where they have removed the general belief that the Muslims have about Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and assign the control of the universe to something called nature. Aina tabi'atu ya makhdulu idh wujidu? Where was this nature or forsaken one when the creation were brought into existence? وَمَا مَجَلَّتُهُمْ وَرْدِي وَلَا صَدَرِي وَلَا لِمُعْتَنِيقِيهَا فِي الْفَلَحِ يَدُ. He said their magazines, the magazines of the disbelievers, and those from these modernist people who write, they are not my daily digest, and they are not my source of information. And those that embrace such publications have no hand in success. إِذْ يُدْخِلُونَ بِهَا عَادَتِهِمْ وَسَجَيَاهُمْ وَحُكْمِ الطَّوَاغِيْتِ لَهُمْ تَرَدُوا. Inasmuch as that, they use these publications, they use their literature to infiltrate and place their customs into the minds of the Muslims. And by way of them, they present this call to judge by tyrannical systems that oppose the religion all throughout their writings. مُحَسِّنِينَ لَهَا كَيْفَ تَرُوجُ عَنَا. And they justify and make this da'wah of theirs, this propagation of theirs, appear attractive so as to promote it. عَلَى عُمَى الْبَصَائِرِ فِي مَنْ فَاتَهُ الرَّشَدُ, in order to promote it to those that are blind in vision, that have missed out on guidance. مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ قَدْ أَضْحَزَ نَادِقَ كَثِيرُهُمْ لِسَبِيلَ الْغَيِّ قَدْ قَصَدُ. On account of that, you have seen many of these modernists, they have become zanadiqa, meaning munafiqun, any people that have clear statements of disbelief while professing Islam. And many of them pursue openly the path of deviance and prefer it over all else. يَرَوْنَ أَن تَبْرُزَ الْأُنْثَ بِزِينَتِهَا وَبَيْعَهَا الْبُضْعَ تَأْجِيلًا وَتَنْتَقِيدُ. And this is the shahid. They believe that the female should exit from her home and exit into the society displaying her full beauty, bartering and selling off her chastity for a continuous profit, bartering and selling off her chastity, using her femininity, using her sexuality and her sensuality to profit and to bring about economic gain for her and the likes of these things. In ajli dhalika bil ifranji qad shurifu bihim tazayya wa fi zayya tuqa zahidu. And for this reason, you find that they have a passionate love for the French and they dress like them, and they have no interest in the clothing of the people of taqwa, meaning the hijab and the libas al shar'i, and the clothing of the Muslims. وَبِالْ عَوَائِدِ مِنْهُمْ كُلِّهَا اتَّصَفُوا وَفِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ تَغْيِيرًا لَهَا اَعْتَمَدُوا. And they not only dress like them, but they incorporate their personal customs and their food and their drink and their speech and even their language and so on and so forth, while intentionally altering the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled within them. عَلَى صَحَائِفِهِمْ يَا صَاحِ قَدْ عَكَفُوا وَلَوْ تَلَوْتَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ مَا سَجَدُوا. They seclude themselves, contemplating over the publications and newspapers of these people. Yet when you recite the Book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, you don't see them prostrating in humility. وَعَنْ تَدَبُّرِ حُكْمِ الشَّرْعِ قَدْ صُرِفُوا وَفِي الْمَجَلَّاتِ كُلَّ الذَّوْقِ قَدْ وَجَدُوا. And they have turned themselves away from contemplating the religion of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala while finding interest in every publication and magazine that these people produce. And think about what is being said here before the age of the internet, before the age of any mass media in such a way, before the age of YouTube, before the age of social media, before the age of technology, and so on and so forth. ما عساه يقول اليوم. What would he possibly say today, rahimahullah ta'ala, were he to see such a thing? Were he to see any, how many Muslims have turned away from the Book of Allah and from learning their religion and have taken the ways of the disbelievers and have taken the propaganda hook, line, and sinker? This is a terrifying state of affairs. Then he mentions how, on top of this, that the men have become effeminate. وَلِلشَّوَارِبِ عَفُوا وَاللَّحَ نَتَفُوا تَشَبُّحًا وَمَجَارَاتًا وَمَتَّأَدُوا. And that they leave the mustaches to grow up, plucking out the beard, mimicking and trying to compete with the people of disbelief, finding themselves unable to perform and to actually reach what these people are upon. قالوا رقيا فقلنا للحضيض نعم تفضون منه إلى سجين معتصد. And they call this, he said, progress. And these things, to these people, is the definition of progress. So he said, yes, it is. It is progress to the rock bottom, proceeding from there to the prison in the hellfire, enclosing you from above. ثقافة من سماج ساء ما ألفوا حضارة من مروج هم لها عمدوا. It is a supposed high culture that is nothing but worthless idiocy and stupidity. And how terrible is that which they have habituated themselves to and become comfortable with, a civilization that consists of any people being like cattle grazing, any pursuing misguidance like sheep. عصرية عصرت خبثا فحاصلوها سم نقيع ويا أغمار فازدردوا. It is a modernism that has squeezed out pure filth as its product. And what it amounts to is nothing but deadly poison that is force-fed to the naive and the inexperienced. موتٌ وسموه تجديد الحياة فيا ليت دعاة لها في الرمس قل لحدو. It is nothing but death, death of religion, virtue, and sense, and sensibility, and intelligence. Yet they name it the revival of life. They say this is revival, that this is true life. He said, if only those that call to it would have been buried in the dust instead. دُعَاتُ سُوءٍ إِلَى سُوءَ تَشَابَهَتْ الْقُلُوبُ مِنْهُمْ وَفِي الْإِضْلَالِ قَدْ جَهِدُوا. They are propagators of a call, and they go from one evil to what is worse, and their hearts resemble each other, meaning their hearts resemble the hearts of the disbelievers. And they endeavor diligently in spreading deviance. ما بين مستعلن منهم ومستترين ومستبدين ومن بالغير محتشد. Some of them publicly promote their call, some of them privately conceal it. There are others that are independent, and there are some that solicit help and support and finances from the outside, from outside of this ummah. This is the reality of the modernist call. The reality of this call that has the woman at the center stage as a tool of propaganda is what is mentioned here. And it is summarized as follows. Barakallahu fikum. That in order for society, they say, to progress, that nature must be harnessed by way of science in order to create industry. This is what creates progress, they say. In order for society to progress, and for there to be stability, and for there to be human happiness, then the source of all of this, they say, is harnessing nature by science. They have taken nature as a deity, saying that nature controls all things, and saying that this deity can be controlled by them by way of science, to create industry, and to create economy, and so on and so forth. And so they have stated that, for the last 200 years, they have promoted in the Muslim world that the source of progress is science, to create industry. And this brings about human happiness, social stability, social progress, and not religion. Religion is not the source of these things. وَقَدْ كَذَبُوا وَاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other hand, he said in his book, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That if only the people of the cities that were destroyed by Allah had believed and had taqwa of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, we would have opened up for them blessing from the heavens and from the earth. Allah in His greatness would have showered them with blessing and surrounded them with blessing in all directions. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. But instead they belied. They claimed that what the messengers came with was a lie, and that what Allah revealed was a lie. And so Allah in His greatness seized them with punishment because of what they had earned. And so they say that the key to success, the key to happiness, is secular education, secular sciences that produce industry, and this will lead to happiness and security and prosperity, and so on and so forth. They say, as for morality, then the morality of the society doesn't need religion, but rather, this morality can be taught by way of the arts, by way of music, by way of theater, and so on and so forth, by placing messages that are important for social morals and the values that are beneficial to society within the arts. And they say that mankind has matured past religion into the modern era, where he needs religion no more. Religion is something from the infancy and the juvenile state of man, and science is what reigns supreme. And it is what is at the head of all affairs. And this next point is very important. They said that at the head of these sciences is what they termed and what they call the social sciences. The social sciences. They said that these sciences, engineering, the natural sciences, so on and so forth, those things that are needed to produce industry and to produce economic prosperity and safety and so on and so forth, and military might, they say these things will not benefit you without the social sciences. They will not benefit you in order for progress to occur. We must have a social revolution. We must change the past and get rid of outmoded and outdated values and traditions that are impeding and slowing down progress. And preferably, they said they want to do away with religion entirely, if possible. And at the forefront of this was the Muslim woman. The Muslim woman in her hijab, shar'i, and with the clothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for her. The Muslim woman and the privacy of her home, being a mother and a homemaker. The Muslim woman fulfilling her duties as a wife. The Muslim woman attending to the full-time task of all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has charged her with, in being a daughter and a wife and a mother and so on and so forth. That her being sequestered in her home, her following the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. And stay in your home, stick close to your home, sequester yourself in your home, and do not display yourself, meaning do not intermingle with the men, displaying yourself in your adornment and your beauty like the تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى, as was done in the first state of jahiliyyah, before the coming of Islam. They say that this is something of the past, and this is preventing society from moving forward. What is the reason for this? The reason for this approach of saying that worldly knowledge is all that is required to advance, and that religion is something that is obsolete, and is something to be relegated to the inner confines of a person's home, and to be removed from any meaningful meaning, from any meaningful purpose in a person's life. The reason for all of this is because they know the lessons of history. They know that if the Muslim world was to be revived religiously and culturally and scientifically, that it would become a world contender and it would pose a threat to their interest. And so they insist on the alternative. They say that development and progress requires many stages, and it is dependent on social revolution and upheaval, upon creative destruction. And engineering and natural sciences will not help you in ordering and structuring your societies and improving your economies and strengthening your militaries until you have disposed of the past with a focus on liberating women from the traditional morals and customs, and until you have mastered the humanities and the social sciences in order to transform your societies. And anything else besides this narrative is a threat to economic development, and is a threat to international security, and it is a threat to human rights. These ideas last up until today, and they first spread in the Muslim world in the early and late 19th century, and which was the 12th century or the 13th century Hijri, the 13th century Hijri. The late 19th century, meaning the 1800s. And many of these ideas, they emerged and they first appeared during the French Revolution. And they came specifically from a group that are known as the Saint Simonians. And this particular group of people, they were the founders of the social sciences. And they broke into two different groups, one of them following Prosper and Fanton, and the other one following Auguste Comte. And both of these individuals from the followers of Henry Saint Simon, both of them had cults that followed behind them that taught that women are to be liberated, and that taught about free love, and that deified the woman to the point that Auguste Comte, that he even had what was called the cult of woman, where he believed that woman as a concept was something that should be worshipped. And Fanton, he believed that the woman was going to be the Messiah, and that there should be a new religion, and this new religion replacing Catholicism in France and across the world, connecting the West, meaning Europe, to the East, meaning the Orient, the Muslim world, and what is beyond it, that it should have two popes. The first is a male pope, and the second is a female pope, a female messiah, that he hoped that he would find in Constantinople and Istanbul. And that when he went to Egypt, that he hoped that he would find someone who would bring this gospel of humanity and of a new religion. This is the basis of these calls. The basis of these calls, it came from some people who were pure atheists, who wanted to dispose of religion and liberate the woman from all traditional values and from all religious values. And when we look at the reality of this group of people, and we look at their accomplishments, and these things that I'm saying are not any just from any things that have been mentioned by Islamic authors, by our scholars, but they are found in the academic and historical record in the Western world. And these are things that there is no question about. These same people that they base their da'wah, their propagation, on free love and the supposed liberation of the woman, they were the exact same people that were responsible for the invasion of Egypt under Napoleon Bonaparte and the colonization of Algeria about 30 odd years later. And they are responsible for the indoctrination of the first Muslim students that went to France to study the arts and the sciences, who brought these ideas back to the Muslim world, from which they grew and they festered like a cancer, ila yawmina hadha, up until today. When we look at the history of the relationship between the West and the East, between Europe, Western Christian Europe, and the Muslim world, and we look at the fact that the intercultural that occurred between the two cultures of fighting during the time of the Crusades and of the exchange of knowledge, where many of the academics of Europe were indebted to the Muslims and came to the Muslim world, and the scientific revolution and the Renaissance of Europe was produced as a result of knowledge that was learned at the hands of the Muslims, where the Christians were the students of the Muslims, people who are credited today as the revivers and reformers of the Christian world, people like Thomas Aquinas, people like Roger Bacon and others, that came to the lands of Islam and studied the sciences of the Muslims and took them back to Europe to start a Reformation movement within Europe to try to change what was wrong in the life of Europe. And we see that this claim, that this call, that progress only comes about by discarding the religion, that it is nothing but a makr. It is nothing but a plot. It is nothing but a conspiracy. It is nothing but an agenda to keep the Muslims sick and to keep them weak and to poison them, and with telling them that the only way that they can regain their strength is to take the poison that made them sick to begin with. And from the greatest of scholars that documented this intercultural exchange, what happened between the West and the East, and the various stages that it went through, was the great scholar, the Imam of the Arabic language in our time, as many of our scholars have said, a Sheikh Mahmoud ibn Muhammad Shakir, the son of a great scholar and the brother of a great scholar, who was a scholar of the Arabic language, and who was a scholar of Hadith, and a scholar of Tafsir, who did a checking of many volumes of the Tafsir of At-Tabari, and did checkings of many books of narrations, and many books of history, and many books of the Arabic language, and so on and so forth. And he wrote a tremendous book that is called At-Tariq ila Thaqafatina, and the path that led us to our culture. The path that led us to our culture, meaning how to regain our culture. How to regain our culture. And this book that he wrote won him the King Faisal Prize for Arabic Literature, which is the highest, probably, honor that can be given in the Muslim world, and for work of literature. And it is a tremendous book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon the author. And he outlines for us what led to this point in history. What led to this point in history? He says, rahmatullahi alayhi, after speaking about the Crusades, and how in the period between the beginning and the end of the Crusades beginning in the year 1095 on the Christian calendar and ending in the year 1291, that in this time, many academics, as we just mentioned, came, many scientists who were clergy and who were religious scholars in the Christian world, they came in need of the knowledge that was in the hands of the Muslims. And how when the Crusades came to an end, how that came to an end for them. Meaning that they didn't have the same type of access to the Muslim world and the same type of ability to study in the Muslim world and so on and so forth. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَقَضَ اللَّهُ قَضَاءَهُ فِي السَّابِ عَشَرْ مِنْ جُمَادَ الْآخِرَ سَنَةَ تِسْعِينَ وَسِتَمِئَةَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the 17th of Jumad al-Akhir, on the year 690 after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coinciding with the 17th of June in the year 1291 on the Christian calendar. وَسَقَتَ آخِرُ حُسْنٍ كَانَ لِلصَّلِّبِيِّينَ فِي الشَّامِ That at that on that day, the last fortress of the Crusaders in the Levant, in modern-day Palestine, fell. وَرَجَعَتْ آخِرُ فُلُولِ الْحَمَلَاتِ الصَّلِيبِيَّةِ إلَى مَوَاطِنِهَا مُتَحَالِكَةً يَائِسَةً مُسْتَحْذِيَةً صُفْرَ الْوُجُوحِ مِنَ الْخِزِّ وَالْعَارِ And the last remnants and stragglers of the Crusaders returned back to their lands despondent, hopeless, pale-faced, in a state of humiliation and embarrassment, and their hearts contained a murderous sadness because of what they had lost out of their hands of worldly enjoyment and the adornment of this world that was in the lands of Islam. وَفِي السِّرِّ أَنفُسِهَا يَأْسٌ مُحَيِّرٌ وَيَقِينٌ مُفْزِعٌ أَنَّ دَارَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِيَارٌ مُمْتَنِعَةٌ عَنِ الْإِخْتِرَاقِ امْتِنَاعٍ لَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى تَجْرِبَتِهَا إِلَى تَجْرِبَتِهِ مَرَّةً ثَالِثَةً And they had within them a bewildering despair and an unnerving certainty that the Muslim world was impervious to penetration. It could not be conquered and that there would not be a third attempt. And many scholars, amongst them, Sheikh Ibn Baz and others, they mentioned that the last Crusader king, the French king, Louis IX, that when he was imprisoned in the citadel, in the Qal'a of Mansoura, which is on the outskirts of modern-day Cairo, after being taken prisoner by the Egyptian army, that he realized that there must be a new approach to fighting the Muslim world, that the military approach, that it wouldn't benefit, and that it wouldn't have any advantage. And so Europe started to introspect and decided to look at the reason behind the strength of the Muslims. Now, what it would take to take this land bridge, to conquer this land bridge between East and West, which was Egypt and the Levant, Palestine and Syria and so on and so forth, and take control of it to have access to the rest of the world. What would it take? And so they started to contemplate and they started to look inwardly and they started to try to revitalize their society. He said, وَأَيْذًا قَضَى اللَّهُ قَضَاءَهُ الْمَسْتُورُ أَلَّذِي لَمْ يَكْشِفْ عَنْهُ الْحِجَابَ بَعْدٍ أن لا يكون الحرب صليبية شرا محضا على المسيحية المحصورة في الشمال بل قدرا مقدورة يحمل لها في طياته خيرا محجوبة He said, likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had decreed and destined for something to happen that would not yet be exposed and not yet be shown to the world, that the crusades that had been launched against the Muslim world would not be pure evil, and he have a purely bad outcome for the Christian world that had been constricted to the north. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that within the events of the Crusades, that there was a hidden good that would come out of it. لِيَكُنَ غَدًا بِحَاذَ الْخَيْرَ الْجَنِينَ عُقُوبَةً لِعِبَادِهِ فِي دَارَ الْإِسْلَامِ That this good that they had gotten from the lands of Islam, that was just the fetus at that time, meaning the scientific knowledge that they took and the civilizational knowledge and science that they took back to their lands, that very soon this knowledge will become a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his slaves in the lands of Islam. إِذَا عَجَبَتْهُمْ كَثْرَتُهُمْ Who will become astonished with their numbers. وَغَرَّتْهُمْ قُوَّتُهُمْ And become deluded by their strength and power. وَتَّاهُ بِمَعُوتُ مِنْ زُخْرُفِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا And who will become, who will transgress the bounds because of what they possess of the life of this world and its beauty. وَرَكِبَ كَثِيرٌ مِنْ عَامَتِهِ مَحَارِمَ اللَّهِ And because of what many of the common people from amongst the Muslims would fall into of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَخَالَتُ مَعَاسِ اللَّهِ قَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهَا and because of their committing acts of disobedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden, وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِنَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ, and because they will forget a great portion of the truth that they had in their hands, لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ, that cannot be approached from any direction by falsehood. وَتَرَكُوا مَحَجَّةً بَيْضَاءَ لَا يَظِلُّ سَالِكُهَا, and because they had abandoned the straight path that was pure and bright, لَا يَظِلُّ سَالِكُهَا, that path that if it is followed, no one will go astray who follows it. وَاتَّبَعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَتْ بِهِمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ, and because they followed many divergent paths, following different innovations and heresies and so on and so forth, that separated them from his path, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a tremendous point, and it cannot go unmentioned, that what was taken of science and civilizational knowledge and implemented in Europe over the course of the next few hundred years, that would put Europe in a position of strength while the Muslims were in a state of ghafla, in a state of heedlessness, in a state of backwardness and leaving off the teachings of their religion, in a state of sin and disobedience, in a state where they were submerged in shubuhat and shahawat, and the greatest of trials, the trials of doubts and the trials of and tribulations of harmful impulses and desires. And the affair will be, as was stated by the great Imam Muhammad Taqiyuddin al-Hilali in his commentary to the book of the civilization of the Muslims in Andalus by a particular non-Muslim whose name escapes me at the time. He said, وَكُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ الْأُرُوبِيُّونَ من العلم والحضارة اللذين اقتبسوهما من المسلمين, that the more the Europeans increased because of the knowledge and science and civilization that they had extracted from the Muslims, ازداد المسلمون توغلا وحبوطا من الجهل وتأخر اللذين اقتبسوهما من الأوروبيين, the more the Europeans increased because of this scientific knowledge and civilization that they had learned from the Muslims, the more the Muslims fell behind because of the ignorance and backwardness that they had learned from the Europeans. And so this was the reality of the affair. And Shaykh Mahmoud Shakir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فَأَوْرَثَهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ غَفْلَةً سَوْفَ تَطُولُ بِهِمْ حَتَّى يَفْتَهُ عَيُنَهُمْ فَجْأَةً عَلَى بَلَاءٍ مَاهِقٍ, and so their sins caused them to inherit a legacy of heedlessness that would remain for a very long period of time until the moment that they opened up their eyes upon a calamity that was destructive, that caught them off guard, a time where they would find themselves in a period of colonization, in a period where and many millions of Muslims would die, and where the basis of their strength would be tested and tried, as was stated by the great scholar Hamad al-Ansari rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, may Allah have mercy upon him, that the fitna of today is not like the fitna of the past, like the fitna, he said, of the Mu'tazila and the other deviant sects. He said the fitna of today is a fitna that is designed to remove the Muslim from his religion. Plain and simple. To remove the Muslim from his religion. And so this situation is a very dire situation that the Muslims, they found themselves after the Crusades for the next few hundred years, they found themselves in a state where they were digressing. They found themselves in a state of backwardness. They found themselves where heresies and innovations were spreading to the east and to the west, or the people of Sunnah were persecuted and were an extreme minority. He said, فَقَضَ رَبُّكَ أَن تَعِيشَ أُرُبَّةُ كُلُّهَا قَرْنًا وَنِصْفَ قَرْنٍ بَعْدَ إِخْفَاقِ الْحُرُوبَ الصَّلِيبِيَّةِ فِي إِسْرَارٍ لَا يَتَزَعْزَعْ وَفِي دَأْبٍ لَا يَعُقُهُ مَلَلٍ. He said, likewise, Allah had destined that Europe would spend the next century and a half after the failure of the Crusades with an unshakable persistence, habitually without tiring, attaining worldly knowledge and information in the Muslim world. وَعَلَى تَحْصِيلَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْمَعْرِفَةِ مِنْ دَارِ الْإِسْلَامِ كُلِّ وَسِيلَةٍ, and sending their people to take knowledge from the Muslim world by any means possible. استطاعت إلى ذلك سبيلا رجاء أن تجد مخرجا من هذا المأزق الضنك الذي حضرت فيه وهو تاريخ طويل حافل يعجزني أن أقصه عليك الآن. To take knowledge by every available means in the Muslim world to further advance themselves and to further progress themselves. And he mentions how over the next 150 years, leading up to the fall of Constantinople, which was the capital of the Christian world, that coincided with the Christians in Spain and Andalus removing the Muslims from the entire peninsula and led to the age of the Inquisition, that this period was a time of revival and a time of renewal. And one only has to look at the very first sentence of the book of Pico della Mirandola, who said in his book, The Oration on the Dignity of Man, this book that was called the Manifesto of the European Renaissance, of the Scientific European Renaissance, that was written at the end of the 15th century. And around the year 1497 or 98 or so, the author, he began his book talking about the dignity of man. This dignity that could not be found in Christianity. By quoting the great Muslim scholar, the great Salafi scholar Ibn Qutaybah, rahmatullahi alayhi, who was from Khurasan, quoting him in his writing about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored mankind above the rest of the creation by way of scientific knowledge. The same scientific knowledge that the Vatican feared and that the clergy feared, and that would enable the lay people to read and remove them from a state of ignorance and jeopardize their hold on the property and the wealth of the people and so on and so forth. The same scientific knowledge, it was credited by those people who were at the head of the scientific revolution in all throughout Europe, in France, in Spain, and elsewhere, in Germany and elsewhere, was credited to the Muslims. And it's something that is hardly mentioned today. And so we reiterate the point that to place the Muslim woman within this context of saying that the only way for Muslim society to advance and to progress is to remove all those backward traditions and all those exotic ways that the Muslims have about themselves that are counterproductive, at the head of them being the position of the woman inside of the home and the institution of the legislation of the hijab, and that the only way for the Muslims to advance is to dispose of their religion. And he is abtal al-abatiyah. And it is the worst and most repugnant type of falsehood that can be imagined. It is something that is a demonstrable lie and falsehood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Muslims from it. Shaykh Mahmoud Shakir rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَصَارَتْ أُرُوبَ عَالَمًا مَخِيفًا مَرْحُوبَ الْجَانِبِ وَتَزْدَادُ كُلَّ يَوْمِ ثَقَافَةً وَعِلْمًا وَفَحْمًا وَيَقْضَةً. He says, talking about the 16th century, which is called the Age of Exploration, where Europe started to colonize the quote-unquote New World, and they found the trade route around the Horn of Africa to go to India. And the European nations sent out multinational corporations, the East India Company, the Dutch Indian Company, the French Indian Company, and so on and so forth, to do business in the Orient. And they came under the guise of friendship, and they sent their scholars and their academics, pay attention to this point, they sent their learned people to study the East and to study the lands that they would want to colonize once they gain the opportunity and once they gain the strength to do so. He said that Europe became a world that was feared and dreaded by the rest of the known world. وَتَزْدَادُ كُلَ يَوْمِ ثَقَافَةً وَعِلْمًا. Daily it was increasing in its high culture and in its secular knowledge. وَفَحْمًا وَيَقْضَةً. In its understanding of things and in its awakening. وَتَجْرِبَةً وَخِبْرَةً. And in its experimentation and having detailed knowledge of things, of all things, خَيْرٍ وَشَرٍ, that they could put their hands upon, whether good or evil. وَتَزْدَادُ أَيْضًا نِفَاقًا وَخُبَثًا وَمَكْرًا وَغَدْرًا بِالْآمِنِينَ حَيْثُ كَانُوا فِي أَرْجَاءِ عَالَمٍ كَانَتْ تَحْجُبُهُ عَنْهُمْ دَارُ الْإِسْلَامِ قُرُونًا طَوِيلًا. At the same time, it was increasing in its hypocrisy and its foulness and its ability to conspire and betray those that were formerly in a state of peace everywhere in the world. These same people that had previously been shielded away from Europe by the Muslim world for many long centuries. وَقَامَتْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَضَارَةٌ جَدِيدَةٌ غُذِيَتْ بِالدَّمِ الْمَسْفُوحِ. A new civilization, he said, was now standing upon the earth, being nourished by gushing blood, free-flowing blood. وَمُزِجَتْ ثَقَافَتُهَا بِالْمَكْرِ وَالْغَدْرِ وَالدَّهَاءِ وَالْخُبُثِ. And its culture was convoluted by the politics of conspiring and betraying and beguiling and foulness. And this is something that there is no doubt about. When we look at the what are called Machiavellian politics, and the power politics of Niccolo Machiavelli, the power politics of Montague, and any the thinkers of the Enlightenment, when we look at any what was becoming prevalent throughout Europe, of the ends justify the means. Of the ends justify the means. And this is what he is referring to here, rahmatullahi alayhi. And how they came under the guise of friendship and open trade and open business and so on and so forth, just to explore the lands that they were eventually going to colonize. He said, وَقَامَتْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَذَارَةٌ جَدِيدَةٌ غُذِيَتْ بِالدَّمِ الْمَسْفُورِ وَمُزِجَتْ ثَقَافَتُهَا بِالْمَكْرِ وَالْغَدْرِ وَالدَّهَاءِ وَالْخُبُثُ تَأُزُّهُ نَارُ أَحْقَارٍ مُكَتَّمَةٌ ثُمَّ صَارَتْ لَهِيبًا يَأُجُّ أَجًّا حَضَارَةٌ صَوْفَ تُطَبِّقُ وَجْهَ الْأَرْضِ. He said, and they were driven by grudges that they kept within the depths of their souls, and that were a fire burning inside that would soon become a bonfire that spread to the ends of the earth and covered over the face of the earth with the supposed civilization, with a civilizing mission, as they said. Looking at the people that they were doing business with and the people that they were encountering, and coming up, as is found in their literature, with theories of racial hierarchy, with racist concepts, believing that the history of the world was moving from east to west, and that the East was something that was feminine and was emasculated, and the West was something that was dominant and masculine. And so this concept came to their mind, and that the East is something to be plundered, and the East is something to be conquered, and the East is something that needs to be civilized. It is barbaric, and the women are to be saved. There's to be a civilizing mission, And at the forefront of that mission will be the woman of the Orient and the Muslim woman in particular. He said, وَهِيَ بِذَارِكَ كُلِّهِ حَضَارَةٌ إِنسَانِيَةٌ عَالَمِيَةٌ. And with all of that, with all of their plotting, conspiring, and with all of these machinations of theirs, they claim to be a humanistic civilization, a universal civilization that was going to unite the entire world upon a single cause and a single belief. أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. Isn't that what they say? He says, وَمَعَ هَذِهِ الْأَصَاطِيلِ الْفَاجِرَةِ خَرَجَتْ مِنْ مَكَامِنِهَا أَعَدَادٌ وَافِرَةٌ مِنْ رِجَالٍ يُجِيدُونَ لِسَانَ الْعَرَبِي وَأَلْسِنَةِ دَارِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْأُخَرِ. He said that with these wicked fleets of merchants and soldiers and so on and so forth that were planting communities all across and European minority communities all across the East and all across the world, along with these wicked fleets of people, there emerged from their midst a large number of men that were prolific with the Arabic language and that were prolific with the other languages of the Muslim world. وَمِنْهُمْ رُحْبَانٌ وَغَيْرُ رُحْبَانٌ. Some of them were clergy and some of them were laity. وَرَكِبُوا الْبَرَّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And they traveled by land and sea. وَزَحَفُوا زَرَفَاتٍ وَوَحْدَانٍ. And they came in groups and they came one after another after another after another. فِي قَلْبِ دَارِ الْإِسْلَامِ. To plant themselves within the heart of the Muslim world. عَلَى دِيَارِ الْخِلَافَةِ فِي تُرْكِيَ. To plant themselves in the world of the caliphate, of the caliphate in Turkey. وَعَلَى الشَّامِ in the Levant. وَعَلَى مِصْرِ and in Egypt, وَعَلَى جَوْفِ إِفْرِيقِيَ وَمَمَالِكِهَا الْمُسْلِمَةِ and within the heart of Africa and its Muslim nations. خَرَجُوا وَفِي الْقُلُوبِ حَمِيَةُ الْحِقْدِ الْمُكَتَّمِ. They left from their lands having a hidden grudge towards this world that was previously inaccessible to them. This world where many of them had previously been Christians and had left Christianity for Islam. This world that had humiliated them during the Crusades. This world that was inaccessible to them as they lived in squalor and poverty. This world that they coveted after with greed for hundreds of years is now accessible to them. So their academics and their researchers, they came out and they planted themselves in the Muslim world, land after land after land. وَفِي النُّفُوسَ الْعَظِيمَةُ الْمُصَمِّمَةُ وَفِي الْعُيُونَ يَقَظَةُ. They had an unshakable determination within their souls. And the awakening of Europe was center stage right in front of their eyes. وَفِي الْعُقُولَ تَنَبُّحْ وَالذَّكَاءُ. They had cleverness in their mentality and their minds. وَعَلَى الْوُجُوهِ الْبِشْرُ وَالطَّلَاقَةُ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ. And their face exuded conviviality and friendliness and innocence. وَفِي الْأَلْسِنَةِ الْحَلَاوَةُ وَالْخِلَابَةُ وَالْمُمَاذَقَةُ. And their tongues had sweet speech and flattery upon them. And the reality of the affair was much different. وَلَّبِسُوا لِجَمْحَرَةِ الْمُسْلِمُونَ لِجَمْحَرَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كُلَّ زِيَ التَّاجِرْ وَزِيَ الصَّائِحْ وَزِيَ الصَّدِيقَ النَّاصِحْ. And they wore every type of clothing and guise to blend into the Muslim population. They dressed like merchants. They dressed like tourists. They dressed like genuine friends. They presented themselves to be, some of them, pious worshippers. Some of them pretended to be Muslims. وَالتَّوَغَلُوا يَسْتَخْرِجُونَ كُلَّ مَخْبُوٍ كَانَ عَنْهُ مِنْ أَحْوَانِ دَارِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And they penetrated the lands of Islam to extract every secret that had been hidden from them, from the ahwal, from the general circumstances and conditions of the Muslim world. Ahwali amatihi wa khasatihi. They investigated in detail very patiently what the elites were doing and what the common folk were doing. وَعُلَمَائِهِ وَجُحَالِهِ and what the scholars were doing and what the ignorant were doing. وَحُلَمَائِهِ وَسُفَهَائِهِ and how the wise people were and how the foolish behaved. وَمُلُوكِهِ وَسُوقَتِهِ and how the kings lived and how the peasants lived. وَجُيُوشِهِ وَرَعِيَّتِهِ and how the armies were and how the subjects were. وَعِبَادَتِهِ وَلَهْوِهِ and how they were pertaining their worship and how they were pertaining their entertainment. وَقُوَّتِهِ وَضَعْفِهِ and where the strength of the Muslims resided and where their weakness could be found. وَذَكَائِهِ وَغَفْلَتِهِ and what degree of intelligence that they have and what degree of heedlessness and mindlessness that they have. حَتَّى تَدَسَّسُوا إِلَىٰ أَخْبَارِ النِّسَاءِ فِي خُدُورِهِنَّ to the point that they even spied upon what the women were talking about in their private chambers and the gossip of the woman. They investigated the affair of the woman in detail. فَلَمْ يَتْرُكُوا شَيْئًا إِلَّا خَبَرُوهُ وَعَجَمُوهُ وَفَتَشُوهُ وَسَبَرُوهُ they didn't leave off a single thing in the Muslim world except that they analyzed and inspected it and investigated it and looked at every nook and cranny وَذَاقُوهُ وَسَشَفُوهُ and experienced it and witnessed it firsthand. وَمِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ وَمِنْ خِبْرَتِهِمْ وَتَجْرِبَتِهِمْ خَرَجَتْ أَهَمُّ طَبَقَةٍ تَمَخَّصَتْ عَنْهَا الْيَقَظَةُ الْأُرُوبِيَّةِ and from these people who came with the merchant ships and who came with the diplomatic missions and so on and so forth, from these people and from their experiences and their experimentation, there emerged the most important and vital group that the European Enlightenment produced, which were Tabaqat al-Mustashriqeen, the class of people that are called al-Mustashriqeen, the Orientalists, those that explored Muslim society in order to exploit it. وَعَلَىٰ عِلْمِهِمْ وَخِبْرَتِهِمْ وَتَجَارِبِهِمْ رَسَتْ دَعَائِمُ الْاِسْتِعْمَارِ وَرَسَخَتْ قَوَاعِدُ التَّبْشِيرِ and upon the knowledge, based upon the knowledge of these people, their experience and their experimentations, the support pillars of al-isti'mar, of colonization, were established. And the qawa'id and the support pillars and principles of al-tabshir, of the Christian evangelizing of the Muslim world, were deeply planted. And so they spent centuries engaging in trade, mapping and studying the ancient and modern societies and how to get the most for their personal gain and for their own civilization and society from these societies that they were exploring. And these smiling faces of theirs would soon show their fangs. Mahmoud Shakir, he explained that in the year 1692, the polymath, the very famous scientist, Leibniz, the German scientist, devised a war strategy for the King Louis XIV, the King of France, one of the most famous kings of France, about how to conquer Egypt and the importance, the geopolitical importance of Egypt, and why Egypt needs to be conquered to connect east to west, and how the first European ruler to do so would gain something tremendous from it. And at the same time, the academics of France and the intellectuals of France, they started to place the imagery of the Muslim world being the victim of Oriental despotism, the victims of tyranny and being a backward place, a place where there was so much untapped potential, but they were idle people who were uninterested, disinterested in taking advantage of what they had. And this was first done with the translation of, in the year 1704 on the Christian calendar, the translation of what we know as the 1001 Arabian Nights, or simply the Arabian Nights. And this became the stereotype of the Muslim world. Now imagine a person today thinking that if you want to know about the Muslim world, then read Aladdin and read 40 Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves and the likes of these fables and fairy tales and so on and so forth. But this is what came center stage in Europe and in France in particular. And the Enlightenment thinker Montesquieu, he wrote his Persian Letters, where he portrayed the Muslim woman to be a sex slave, where he portrayed the Muslim woman to be the lowest and most vile creature on the face of the earth that was in dire need of being rescued and in dire need of being liberated. And this was a narrative that would remain throughout Europe for the next few decades up until the invasion, the eventual invasion of Egypt by Napoleon Bonaparte. Leading up to the invasion of Egypt, as Europe was having its renaissance, there was an awakening occurring in the Muslim world, the Sheikh Mahmoud Shaker mentions. He said there was an awakening, a revival of the Arabic language and a revival of civilizational sciences, of actual natural civilizational sciences. And there was a revival in religious teachings. As for the revival of the Arabic language, then it was carried out by al-Baghdadi, who died in the year 1093 after the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the year 1683 on the Christian calendar. And al-Zabidi was the author of Taj al-Urus. And this revival of the Arabic language by these two scholars of the Arabic language occurred in Egypt, in Cairo. The revival of religious teachings of Aqidah and Ibadah and Fiqh, it occurred at the hands of the great Imam al-Mujaddid, he said, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Tamimi, Rahmatullahi alayhi, who died in the year 1206 after the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which coincides with 1792 on the Christian calendar. And this occurred in the Hijaz of Arabia. And likewise, al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah ta'ala in al-Yemen, who died in the year 1250. As regards the worldly sciences, and there was a Hanafi Mufti, who was the Sheikh of Azhar, whose name was Hassan al-Jabarti, who was called al-Jabarti al-Kabir, who died in the year 1188 in Egypt. 44 years before his death, he spent well over a decade collecting manuscripts of the science of the Muslim world and decoding it and understanding it and studying the civilizational sciences. And he turned his home into a laboratory and into a workshop, Mahmoud Shaker mentions, unlocking the secrets of the civilizational sciences that had remained closed away from the people of his day, who had become heedless to the importance of secular knowledge. And he collected the literary heritage from all over the Muslim world until he mastered engineering, chemistry, astronomy, and the broader civilizational inventiveness of things like carpentry and textiles and ironwork and a number of other things. And this is documented by his son, Abdurrahman ibn Hassan al-Jabarti, rahmatullahi alayhi, and he who documented the invasion of the French during the time of Napoleon, beginning in the year 1213 after the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the year 1798 on the Christian calendar. This great scholar, Abdurrahman ibn Hassan al-Jabarti, he documented something tremendous for us that happened shortly before and around 50 years or so before the invasion of Egypt by Napoleon. He said, Rahimahullah ta'ala, وَحَذَرَ إِلَيْهِ طُلَّابٌ مِنَ الْأَفْرَنْجِ وَقَرَأُ عَلَيْهِ عِلْمَ الْحَنْدَسَةِ. That his father took audience with a number of French students that came to study with him. And they learned from him the science of engineering. And that was in the year, he said, in the year 1159, more than 59 years, around 50 years before the French invasion and before even the French Revolution. He said, وَأَهْدَوْ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ صَنَعِيهِمْ وَآلَتِهِمْ أَشْيَاءَ نَفِيسَةً وَذَهَبُوا إِلَى بِلَادِهِمْ وَنَشَرُوا بِهَا ذَلِكَ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ وَأَخْرَجُوهُ مِنَ الْقُوَّةِ إِلَى الْفِعْلِ. This is something that you never find written in European history books. Despite the fact that much of what is mentioned here is documented in the Western world, this is one fact. And that the French, they came and they learned science up until this late date from this great scholar who was the Hanafi Mufti of Azhar, Rahimahullah Ta'ala. He said, and they gifted a number of their inventions and tools to him, things that were very valuable. And they went back to their lands, وَنَشَرُوا بِهَا ذَلِكَ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ. And they spread the knowledge that they had learned from Al-Jabarti Al-Kabir, رحمه تعالى, from that time, وَأَخْرَجُوهُ مِنَ الْقُوَّةِ إِلَى الْفِعْلِ. And they took it from its potential to its actualization in establishing French society. وَاسْتَخْرَجُوا بِهِ الصَّنَاعِيَ الْبَدِيعَ مِثْلَ تَوَاحِينَ الْهَوَاءَ وَجَرِّ الْأَثْقَالِ وَاسْتِنْبَاطُ الْمِيَاحِ وَغِيْرِ ذَلِكِ. And they were able to invent a number of astonishing inventions, such as certain types of wind-powered mill grinders and lifts that could lift heavy weights and transport them from one place to another, and devices to extract water out of the ground, and a number of other astonishing contraptions that were engineering marvels that they learned from this great scholar, this religious scholar, and this scholar of civilizational sciences, and they took it back to their lands. And he makes an important point. He says, لا تنظر إلى الفرق الحائل الكائن اليوم بين الشمال المسيحي النصراني والجنوب الإسلامي. Sheikh Mahmoud Shakir, he said, don't look at the astonishing, enormous difference today between the Christians in the north and the Muslims in the south. فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ فَعَلْتَ ضَلَلْتَ عَنِ الْحَقِيقَةِ. Because if you were to do that, then you would deviate away from the reality of that day. وَالْحَقِيقَةُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَنَّ الْفَرْقَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ كَانَ خُطْوَةً وَاحِدَةً تُسْتَدْرَكُ بِالْحِمَّةِ وَصَبْرِ وَالدَّأْبِ وَالتَّصْمِيمِ لَا أَكْثَرُ. The reality of the affair at that time is that the difference between us and them was a single step that could be made up for by ambition, patience, persistence, and strategizing, and nothing else. بَلْ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ الْيَقَظَةَ الْأُرُوبِيَّةِ كَانَتْ بَعَدُ فِي أَوَّلِ الطَّرِيقِ وَتَتَّكِئُ اتِّكَاءً شَدِيدًا عَلَى مَا كَانَ عِنْدَنَا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ الْمَسْتُورِ فِي كُتُبِنَا وبرموزه التي تحتاج إلى استبانة وفهم وعلى العلم الحي الذي عند دار الإسلام. He said, and more than that, the European scientific civilizational awakening at that time was in the beginning of the path. It was at the entrance of the path, and it was severely reliant upon what we possessed in the lands of Islam of knowledge that had been stored away in our books and that needed to be decoded and needed to be explained and taught by live teachers that could only be found in the world of Islam. وَكُلُّ الْفَرْقِ بَيْنَ الْيَقَظَتَيْنِ يَوْمَئِذٍ هُوَ أَنَّ يَقَظَتَنَا كَانَتْ هادية سليمة طوية منبعثة من داخلها. And the entire difference between the two awakenings at that time was that the awakening of the Muslim world was something that was peaceful, and it was something that was calm, and it came from the inside. ليس لها حدف إلا استعادة شبابها ونظرتها. And all it wanted to do was regain its strength and its youth. في حدود الإسلام, within the boundaries of Islam and the Islamic world and what Islam allows for. وإن كانت يومئذين يقظة متباعدة الديار غير متماسكة الأوصال ولكنها كانت قريبة التواصل وشيكة الالتئام. He said, although at that time the various parts of this awakening between the language and between the worldly sciences and between the awakening of the religion and aqidah that was happening in the Najd with Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala and happening with Ash-Shawkani in Yemen after that, that this awakening that was happening in the Muslim world that was causing, and that was without a doubt known by the Europeans, although it was disconnected, it was something that could have connected itself very easy. And it was in close contact, and it could have gathered itself together very simply. And there is nothing that is more demonstrative of that, that proves that more than the fact that the son of Hassan al-Jabarti, al-Jabarti al-Kabir, rahimahullah ta'ala, that scientist, that his son Abdurrahman ibn Hassan al-Jabarti will become for more than 8 years one of the shuyukh, one of the teachers of al-Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Hassan al-Shaykh when he was taken by the army of Abbas, the son of Muhammad Ali Basha during the 7 year war where the Ottomans waged war through Muhammad Ali Basha, the Albanian wazir over the Albanian visor over Egypt, and he waged war against those that they called the Wahhabis. And he, when they were brought as captives to Egypt, meaning when the grandsons and the Salafis were brought, when the grandsons of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab were brought to Egypt, this great historian, and he found himself in his history book after previously having praised some of the Sufi practices and so on and so forth, staunchly defending Aqidah and saying that this is what he had learned, meaning the Aqidah of the Salaf, that this is what he had learned from his father who was a scholar. And so this shows that this awakening that was happening in the Muslim world, and it was something that could very easily have come together and restored the Muslims back to their strength with the ilm of the dunya and the ilm of the akhirah, the knowledge of the world and the knowledge of the hereafter, combining together to make the Muslims formidable once again, and to make the Muslims an existential threat to these Europeans who want to exploit their land and so on and so forth. So think about what is being mentioned here. Now think about the falsity of the statement of those who say that in order for the Muslims to progress and move forward, they need to throw the past behind them. They need to throw the past behind them. Look at what was being concocted. Look at what was being planned and what was being meticulously prepared for by Europe. Look at the fear that they must have had, knowing that these things could easily come together and that the Muslims as a culture and a civilization, holding fast to the teachings of their religion, that they could easily have an awakening that could jeopardize the hopes that the Europeans had. And so we'll skip forward a little bit and try to wrap this up in the next 10 minutes or so with the invasion of Napoleon Bonaparte in the year 1798. If we want to know what Napoleon wanted, then he wanted what had been proposed by the German scientist Leibniz in the year 1692 who had proposed to one of Napoleon's forefathers to take Egypt as a land bridge between East and West and to create a new civilization, a universal international civilization, and that would be able to spread the culture of France and Europe to the ends of the earth. Napoleon, he said, as is quoted by Durant in his last volume of the History of Civilization that is entitled The Age of Napoleon. Napoleon said that the time which I passed in Egypt was the most delightful of my life. In Egypt, I found myself free from the wearisome restraints of civilization. And this next point is what is to be observed. He said, I dreamed of all sorts of things, and I saw how all that I dreamed might be realized. I dreamed that I created a new religion, he said. I pictured myself on the road to Asia, mounted on an elephant with a turban on my head, and in my hand a new Quran that I would compose according to my own ideas. And I would have attacked the English power in India and renewed my relations with old Europe by my conquest. This was the dream of Napoleon. The dream of Napoleon was to create a new religion. Napoleon, even when he entered Egypt, and he had with him, along with his army, he had with him, after all those decades and that careful planning and the studying of Egyptian society and his strengths and his weaknesses and what the women were up to and what the scholars were up to and what the foolish were up to and so on and so forth, Napoleon, he had with him this ardent desire to create a new international order, a new way, a new religion that would spread the ideals of the French Enlightenment, that would spread French civilization and culture to the end of the earth, where he would be the emperor of the entire earth, where he would come up with a new religion for humanity. And this is where we'll conclude today, inshallah, and perhaps we'll connect this exactly to what Napoleon wanted and how Napoleon had a dream to change and transform Egyptian society, and how he was accompanied not only by explorers and archaeologists and scientists and so on and so forth, who would loot the cultural heritage and the scientific heritage of the Muslim world, of Egypt in particular, but also he had with him an army of prostitutes, hundreds of prostitutes who dressed as male soldiers, who would spread al-fahisha wal-munkarat in Egyptian society, and how Napoleon introduced the arts and theater and music into Egyptian society, hoping to change thereby the culture of the Muslims and to westernize the Muslims with a focus upon the woman. And how Napoleon came up with a plan to send the elites of Egypt to study in France and to be enamored by French society and to take back the French values of liberation of the woman and other sorts of things that would make Egypt easier to manage and would make his effort something more meaningful and lasting, and how these ideas of his came into complete fruition and they came into complete effect. And there is so much more history and so much more that can be mentioned, and this is only a small amount of what I have with me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these words, they fall upon receptive ears, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives me for any slips of the tongue or anything that I may have said that was incorrect. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand that the disbelievers, that their hearts are filled with darkness, and that no matter what they state their intentions are, and no matter what type of ideals and slogans they try to present to us, exhibiting that they want good for us and demonstrating that they want good for us and so on and so forth, that they cannot want the good for us because they don't know what the good is. Flat out. The reality of the affair is like that. And that what has transpired in the Muslim world of the supposed liberation of the woman and the removing of the hijab and the removing of the woman from her home and so on and so forth. But this was the beginning of it. This was the beginning of it, and what we'll find will be much more bitter. And it has led up into the day in which we find ourselves, where many people have eaten this poison and devoured it and imagined it to be, up until today, the source of progress for the Muslim world, that is preventing the Muslim world from moving forward, that we must free ourselves from the past and from the traditions and from the protections that our religion has afforded us. And through Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, through a most merciful, nurturing Lord, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Hatha wa Sallallahu wa Sallama wa Baraka ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.